Well, I am so excited to kick off our new series called Real Messages here today. It was a big hit the last couple of years, and we've had a good buzz about it ever since. And there are lots of places in the Bible where we can, there are lots of places where we can find biblical principles at work outside of the Bible. And one of those places is in our film industry. Now, as Pastor Eric kind of mentioned earlier, and we want to just make clear, just because a movie is in our series doesn't mean that the movie is totally appropriate or that we support all the things in it, but it does mean that there is content in it that we can tie to our faith in some meaningful ways. So for the next 5 weeks, we'll celebrate some places where faith and our culture intersect in a positive way, and we hope to have a lot of fun on that journey. Now, we're kicking off things this week with Spider-Man, and Marvel has been all the rage lately, and I looked in the last 10 years, there's like 25 movies that they've put out, and in the last 3 years, last four years, they're averaging three or more Marvel movies a year. And in the last couple months, you may have seen the Marvel Endgame movie that came out. And that one had Spider-Man in it, and it brought in $2.3 billion. So people are definitely into Marvel. And the late Stan Lee first brought Spider-Man to life in 1962 when he appeared in an August 15th edition of Amazing Fantasy, which retailed, I don't know if you can see it there, for a whopping 12 cents. Now, the backstory on Spider-Man is that he was a teenager and he was bit by a radioactive spider. And upon getting bit, he gained heightened senses as well as the ability to cling to walls and to shoot webs from his wrist devices. Spider-Man is significant in part because it's the first time ever that we see a teen as the main hero. Before that, teens were only sidekicks. Now, Spider-Man has been rumored at times to be Stan Lee's favorite, and he once commented that the 2002 Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire was his favorite superhero movie. And one note about that film is it was the first movie to clear $100 million in opening weekend. Now, Spider-Man was probably my favorite hero growing up, and it's been fun the last few weeks. Preparing for this series, I've been watching the movies, and the girls sat down and watched Spider-Man 1 and 2 with me, so it's been fun to introduce them to Spider-Man. And Spider-Man Far From Home, I don't know how many of you have seen the trailers for that, but that debuts in 9 days. So each week of the series, we give out some sort of prize that's related to the topic. And this week, we want to give out a gift card to one of my favorite places to watch movies, the State Wayne Theater. So I'm looking for, I'll take a volunteer here. I mean, the first person who can name 3 out of 4 villains from Spider-Man 1 through 3 featuring Tobey Maguire. Gotta have the mic. Spider-Man 1 through 3, somebody raise their hand. Are you raising your hand? Well, you have a baby.
Yeah. I was saying whoever goes gets Chris needs
So, anybody? Any volunteers? All right, Gregory? 3 or 4 villains from Spider-Man 1 through 3.
So, Dr. Octopus, Green Goblin, and Venom?
Yep, nice. Good work. What do you have to do? 3 out of 4. Oh, that's yours. Yeah, good job. Anybody know the fourth one?
Sandman.
You got it. Good work, Sandman. Nice job. And it's just a general gift card. We're not going to force you to watch the new one. You can use it for whatever you want. Now, there are a lot of things that stick out when it comes to Spider-Man, but probably the most famous is a line delivered by his Uncle Ben. Now, here's a clip from Spider-Man where Ben is giving Peter some advice after Peter gets into some trouble at school.
These are the years when a man changes into the man he's going to become the rest of his life. Just be careful who you change into. this guy Flash Thompson, he probably deserved what happened. But just because you can be him doesn't give you the right to. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Ben tells Peter in that clip, with great power comes great responsibility. And over time, you can see the weight of that statement as Peter strives to do good with the amazing powers that have been bestowed upon him. Now, just as that saying helped guide Peter Parker on his journey to Spider-Man, we believe that it has implications for our faith journey as well. Now, last week, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday. It's the Sunday that's always positioned about 50 days after Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. And it marks the arrival of the promised Holy Spirit being available to all people, not just Jewish believers. And Jesus told his friends in John 16:7, he says, "It is for your good that I am going away, and unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus states here that the Advocate, that the Holy Spirit will be the spiritual force that will show the world the difference between good and evil and will reveal the devil for the enemy, the villain that he is. And as we talked last week, when we come to faith in God, we're given the Holy Spirit as a gift that grants us the power to overcome any temptation or any circumstance that we face and to fully experience all the blessings that God has for us in this life. Now, Paul expounds on this power in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 3, we're going to just spend some time there for the next several minutes. If you want to follow along, we'll have the verses on the screen. Or if you want to follow along, if you've got a good app, feel free to do that too. We have some Bibles in the pews under the seats, and we're going to be on page 799 in those today. Now, there, starting in verse 13, Paul says, "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, which are for your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Now, Paul's a guy, if you're not real familiar with him, used to kill Christians, and now he is a Christian. And now he's loved, and he's got these people praying and struggling that is because of the sufferings that he's facing, and he's praying that they won't be discouraged because of that. And even just reading these verses this week, then praying for so many of you who have been experiencing trials and have some things going on in your life, that you would be encouraged even this morning. Paul then shows them how they have the power to overcome through the Holy Spirit living in them. In verse 16, he says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with" what? "Power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." In these verses and the ones that follow, Paul gives them some insight into the mighty power that we receive through the Holy Spirit. And he states that one of the powers that we receive is strength. That one of the powers we receive by the Holy Spirit is strength. You see, we're given the strength to find joy even in the midst of trials, to forgive even the biggest of hurts, to be holy in the midst of temptation, to be kind even when people are not kind to us, and to have self-control when anger rages inside of us, and much more. Now, this strength helps us to overcome anything that the world, that the enemy, that anybody throws at us, even things that are self-inflicted. Now, strength is one of Spider-Man's best assets, but in Spider-Man 2, he decides to neglect his powers in order to pursue other things. Let's watch a quick clip of how that plays out. Now you can see in his expression, he knows what the right thing to do is. And it's hurting him to kind of walk away and to leave that person to those, the bad people there. But he chooses to walk away. He chooses to neglect his power. And his decision hurts not only him, but it hurts those around him, even complete strangers. There's a clipping from the newspaper a little while later. The heading is, crime up 75% with Spider-Man gone. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life, probably even in the last week, where I've looked at a situation, I've known what God wanted me to do, and did the opposite instead. With great power comes great responsibility. We've been given the strength of God living inside of us. However, God doesn't force us to do the right things. Instead, it's our responsibility to grab hold of that strength and the power that comes with it to be able to live as overcomers. And strength is a great superpower. I don't know, maybe you can think of some. I couldn't think of any this week who, any superheroes who don't have great strength or who are really whippy. I thought of Captain Underpants, who has great strength, even with the name. Strength just seems to come with being a hero. But every hero seems to have other powers as well, and it's the same with us. Paul lists another one as we continue in that Ephesians 3 section. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have what? Power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the fullness, to the measure of all the fullness of God. So what's the second power we've been given? Love. You got it. We've been given the ability, Paul says, to wrap our minds around the love of Christ. I think that song we sang just before this even helped us to do that. A love that caused him to leave the comfort and perfection of heaven, to come to earth in the form of a helpless baby surrounded by animals instead of kings, to walk around the earth as one of us, to be criticized and condemned by his peers, to be betrayed and led to death by a friend, to be voted to die by a crowd over a murderer, to be stripped and beaten to the point of death and made to carry his own instrument of death, the cross. And in the moments before he gave his earthly life, he cried to the Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. How do we begin to wrap our minds around a person who can express love for the very people who are killing him? Even today, as we just sang, knowing that our sin and our disobedience helped to nail him to the cross, how can we grasp that kind of love? It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul states that it's not just enough to wrap our minds around that love of it, just to grasp it, that we need to move from grasping that love to then experiencing that love for ourselves and then living it out to the full measure of what God has called us to do. This love is a superpower that can tear down walls. Things like hate and racism and harsh words and political differences and everything in this world that seeks to make us do anything but love each other. We've been given the power to love. We've been given the power to love. Now it's our responsibility to love. Love is the one and only thing that can produce the type of change that God is looking for in the world. It's the only thing that can make the world see us in a different way, a way that's good. And love is the only thing powerful enough to bring the spiritually dead to life. Everything we do should flow from love. And the impact that we have in this world is dependent on love. The measure of our impact in this life is determined by the intensity of our love. The measure of our impact in this life is determined by the intensity of our love. The more we live out the depths of the love that the Holy Spirit has made available to us, the greater the impact that we will have in this life. Paul closes out his prayer with these words. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or seek or imagine, according to his what? This power that is at work within who? Within us. To him be the glory. And in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now, immeasurably more doesn't translate word for word into a superpower, but just summed it up with heroic deeds. We've been given the power to do heroic deeds. Paul says that we have this power at work in us, this power by which we're able to do immeasurably more than we ask or seek. It sounds to me like we can make an impact in some incredible ways. And these powers are amazing, they're huge, but they are not for us. They're not to promote us. They're to promote Jesus Christ. We're given the power in every situation to show Jesus to a world who could desperately use the hope and the love that he has to offer. And whatever we do, whether it's big or small, in word or deed, is an opportunity to tap into that power we've been given to change the world moment by moment. But as we've said, we've got a choice in this. And Peter Parker did too. I want to show you one more clip from the movie. It's a clip from when he was kind of in his think it over phase.
He takes Spider-Man's pictures, right?
I used to.
Where is he?
Henry and I agree. We don't see his picture in the paper anymore.
He quit.
Why?
Wanted to try other things.
He'll be back, right?
I don't know.
Now, maybe this morning you're doing great. And you're connected to the Spirit. You're allowing His power to flow through you in a way that's changing the world around you. And if that's the case, praise God. I pray that you continue to have the strength you need to operate in love or to be a hero to somebody. Keep up the good work. Or maybe today you find yourself in a position like Peter on that day. You've decided to try other things, to fill your life with the things of this world rather than the things of God, and you've neglected the power you've been given. And you don't know if or when you'll be back. There's another moment where Peter's going through these scenes and he's trying to ignore these situations and not respond, but then all of a sudden there's this building and it's on fire and there's a child crying out from inside who needs help, and he can't hold back any longer. He goes into the fire and he rescues them. I've been praying for some of you this morning that this will be your burning building moment. The moment where you decide that you're not content anymore to sit on the sidelines, that you're going to use what God has given you to impact the world. A couple of things I want you to know. God promises that if you do, no matter what you've done up into these moments, no matter what you've done in the world or what you've ignored or any of that, God is ready and willing to both take you back and to infuse you with this power that we've talked about to bring Him glory. He also tells us that the place where we are overflowing with His power is the only place that we can find true contentment in this life. Let's pray together that His power will rest on us and enable us to do great things for Him. Well, God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that even in things like superhero movies, we can find application for our faith. Jesus, we thank You that You sent the promised Holy Spirit, that we may have the same power that was available to You. But we confess we don't always take advantage of that power. We don't always do what we should. But God, this morning, would you just rekindle in us a fire to live for you and you alone? To use this power, this strength, this love, this miraculous power that we've been given to drastically impact the world around us. Whether that's starting in ourselves or at home or in our schools or our workplace or wherever it is, God. We want to be a hero to somebody. Whether it's something small like opening a door or holding an umbrella or doing something bigger, God. We don't know what it is, but we want to be used by you. And so would you show us some opportunities this week to have an impact, to use that power that's been given us to change the world around us. And may you get glory in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.